Welcome to Modcast, a Civilization podcast focused on game modding. Rob R8XFT.
T Pangolin.
Jan Boruta.
Alpha Shard.
Welcome to Modcast 65. I'm Rob R8XFT. Joining me today are
Jan Boruta.
Chris 15.
And Zanchu Danchu.
Welcome to your first Modcast, you two, by the way. Nice to see you.
I think before we should go any further, we should probably date this episode, because it's not going to come out the day we record it, and I'm almost certain that there's going to be a bunch of stuff, which basically proves everything we say wrong.
It's the 25th of June.
Good to hear.
We were wary of this last time, because we got the stirrings that something might be announced fairly soon, and we did the Modcast anyway, and we talked about Civ 6, and it was announced about a week or so later. If it's not in the base Civ 6, which Civ and leader would you hope that would be modded as soon as possible?
That's a difficult question.
It might not be.
A mod which someone else has done, so I don't need to do any work. Done.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whether you do it or somebody else does it. What will you be calling for? Will you be saying straight away, we need to have this Civ in?
I think it'd be good to have geographical Civs done, because they've said that they're doing a Earth map, and so presumably it's going to come with TSL as well. So if there are any big gaping gaps in the map, then it'd be nice to have Civs to fill those quickly enough.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what I want. That's what I want. Day one, like just making Civs to fill the gaps. Muisca, please. Muisca. Just put it down, Muisca. Actually, you know what, Firaxis, if you're listening, put Muisca in the game just now. It'll take an afternoon, I'm sure. Just do it, trust me.
Yeah, they find a voice actor in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm sure there are so many people who speak the Chibcha language rocking around in Firaxis Studio. Come on, the Muisca. The other thing is that uncultured swines who haven't heard of many people will have at least heard of El Dorado.
Someone Luigi right now.
Firaxis needs to make Civs which are notable. Notable in a sense that people have known of them. The general audience will know who they are, with a couple of wildcard exceptions. Yeah. Like the Songhai. When I was a kid, when Civ 5 came out, I didn't know who the Songhai were. But like the Muisca have that little, oh yeah, El Dorado, I've heard of that. To like draw people in.
We're guessing that there'll be Civs like the Romans have got to be in there, haven't they? You would have thought. Probably England as well.
Oh, no. The Romans are DLC so that Firaxis can get extra money.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What am I talking about? I'm giving Firaxis ideas.
No, that could be it. Maybe they should bring out the original game with all really obscure Civs, and the DLC are the ones that we've heard of that everyone wants.
Honestly, if someone who loved the really obscure Civs, that'd be fantastic. Sign me up. Come on. I want to pit the Palawa against the Evanks in the base game. Let's do it.
What?
Audience, plus 5 points if you've heard of the Palawa.
But how about obscure European tribes?
Europe.
They are just like the Aboriginals.
Look, you know for a fact, right? If they're trying to spread out Civs, they will not need any extra Civs in Europe.
Why not?
Because Europe's going to be filled. Look, Europe's a very small place. You can fit maybe 3, maybe 4 Civs in there, and then it's overflowing.
And it's still so rich in culture and peoples.
It's going to be filled to the brim, and you're asking, hey, yeah, where's Dacia?
Yeah, where's Dacia?
Actually, no, I want Dacia now.
You see?
Hey, Firaxis, yeah, cut out Rome, right? You can put that in later. Put in Dacia.
Civ 6, which has obviously been announced since the last Modcast was recorded. What have you guys seen so far that you like about Civ 6? Do you think it'd be something that you want to mod?
Oh boy, where to begin?
Yeah, go ahead.
Wow, there's like been a lot of information. I've kept up with some of it, but generally I'm hopeful. There's always going to be a level of skepticism, but there's some really cool stuff to play with as well in the new Civ department. Like especially the Eureka Moment thing. Oh yeah, gain extra science if you do this. That sounds like it could be wondrous to play with.
Yeah.
Sort of like 50-50 on the whole, like, oh yeah, it seems to have more of a leader focus than a civilization focus. Because a lot of my leaders I choose, like when I'm doing Civs by myself or with Clinius Legacies, I normally choose leaders because, oh yeah, they led a Civ that I want to do. And it's not so much, oh wow, this leader's cool. But it also gives some stuff to play with, so maybe we can have 13 rushes rather than just the 9.
Yeah, there's always room for improvement.
We've got the impression, and certainly there's been comments on the Civ Fanatics forums about this, that it seems like there's some sort of leader ability as well as a civilization ability. So that's given rise to thoughts that maybe there's going to be multiple leaders this time.
Well, if there isn't multiple leaders yet, then it'll certainly be modded in.
Yeah.
I suspect it's also a framework for some DLC that you could get alternate leaders in an expansion pack in addition to new civilizations.
Maybe so. Well, they did that with Civ 4, didn't they?
Yep.
When there were multiple leaders with that. But it's been more the case that people have speculated this purely. Why give the leader a different ability to the Civ? Why not just pile it all in one? So that was the reason why people had thought that.
Yeah, definitely.
It was a thing with Civ 5 that John Schaffers said that he wanted to work with separate Civs and leaders. And in the code, most of the things about civilizations refer to the leader of the civilization, but it kind of didn't work out, as we can see. So this time, it seems they are doing it properly, that they decoupled leaders from the Civs.
Mm. The video with Cleopatra in. Looks okay, and it gives you a bit more of a sense of, now that we've seen two leader heads, it seems like the backgrounds are in some way like a painting or a painted sort of background, and that the leader heads are similar to a mix between Civ 5, Civ 4 and Civ Rev.
It's still following the caricature idea, which is, it looks okay, it's just, I prefer a realistic style. That's the only real problem I've had with the game so far.
Well, for me, this art style is really interesting. It's sort of a middle ground because the caricatural style of Civ 4 and Civ Rev and Civ 5, really. It is sufficiently realistic to, you know, come across as realistic, but it's got a tiny bit more character to it.
I'm not qualified to talk about art in any aspect.
Yeah, but you can observe it and tell us if you like it or not. Well, art is subjective, so.
Yeah, you don't need to qualify.
Almost everything's subjective, really.
Yeah, at least they follow a pattern, that they all look in the same way, it's only a headshot, and I think I like it a bit more, because it gives some sort of consistency to it.
Yeah. Consistency is crucial. Consistency is more important than having good art in some place and bad art in others, right? Consistency isn't subjective.
Yeah, you can see it, well, in the majority of Civ 5 mods that don't get really good art, that is on par with vanilla. You have that one or two leaders that stand out as the worst ones.
Especially in the modding world, the Civ mods that have some sort of modicum of quality to it, the most consistent with the game, tend to be the most popular.
Mm. Mm. If you look at both Cleopatra and Roosevelt, there's a couple of things that are consistent. One is that the leaders seem to appear to be on the right-hand side of the screen.
Mm.
The other is that the background seems to be rather a kind of painted representation. So I think that as long as those items are kept in any art that you might do, Jan, or anybody else, then it doesn't matter if the character is even more realistic, even more like Civ 5 than Civ 6.
Yeah, to keep that pattern. And, well, what I can say about the new art style that has a lot of pluses is that with the so far simplified icons, it cuts development time in a lot of ways. With the backgrounds being static, painted, and really subdued in contrast to the leader in the user interface, you don't really have to paint them. You still can use a photograph or something. Just, you know, slap some darkening here and there, and it still will work as a background without looking much worse.
In my opinion, yeah, like especially in the leader screens, it seems to be trying to put as much focus as possible onto the leader, which I think, in general, Civilization VI is trying to do.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, because it kind of defines the character of a civilization. It was highlighted in Civ 5, and in case of modders like JFG, who likes leaders more than civilizations, it was a highlight of what could come, and it has come.
Yeah. In the case of modders such as myself, oh no.
But Jan was saying just there, with the backgrounds, they shouldn't be as difficult to do as they were before, because I've had a go with some bits and pieces that I picked up from the net and put through a few filters on GIMP 2.8, which make it look more like a portrait than a real image. So you feel like you could almost pick up a number of images that aren't really, copyrighted, and just make them look quite different but suitable for a background. I think that'll work quite well, saves you messing about a lot. I think from my own artistic point of view, it's always been the backgrounds that I've struggled with more than the actual leaders themselves, because I've been able to model those.
Yeah, I really like the direction that it's taking, simply because it will allow more people to take part in it.
Yes.
I, for once, will stick to the paintings because I need it for my job. I need the practice. And it's one thing. And the second thing is that creating the backgrounds by myself will dodge the legal bullet of using copyrighted material.
Yeah.
So yeah. I could do the leaders without relying on anything right now. And maybe I could suggest or propose that I paint leaders and not make photo manipulations of them or something like that. Maybe they would fit and not stick out like a sore thumb. We'll see. The legal trouble is the biggest thing for me, that I will be able possibly to create everything from scratch. But for the others who don't concern themselves with all this trouble, it also will be easier to do all this kind of stuff. So let's hope that modding leaders will be easier than in Civ 5.
Well, that's fingers crossed. I hope so.
Yeah.
I would imagine that most, if not all, of the leaders from Civ 5 are currently in something like Blender somewhere. Some Civ fanatic who will then try and port them straight into Civ 6. I think one of the things that we really missed out on in Civ 5, and I hope it's not the case with Civ 6, is units. Yeah, there were some units, just really wasn't at the same rate that units were produced for the other Civilization games. One person that put something up about it'd be great if there was some sort of conversion for Civ 3 units into Civ 5, seems to look quite similar. That'd be quite interesting.
Yeah, the translatability of Civ 3, 4 and 5 seems to be pretty okay, because the units are pretty low polygon, low resolution, everything. But in Civ 6, you can see that the units are, again, a bit bigger. The models are smooth. There's a lot of variation. The dev announced that there will be some ethnic diversity to them. But at some point, they also mentioned that those units are made from bits and pieces, that they are mixed and matched. So there is a possibility that maybe there will be a repository of those bits and pieces that you could use to make new units.
I think the other thing that certainly used to happen back in Civ 3 days, I mean, they're still creating units for those 15 years on, but because you could create the unit from scratch there, rather than just skin a unit, you could create new animations, and that was great. And it'd be great to have that back in Civ 6, that kind of thing.
Yeah, because modding 3D was a very big bottleneck for Civ 5 modding.
Yeah.
There were a couple of people who were doing this and porting models from Civ 4 and making new models and new reskins. So a lot of Civilization mods use them to the fullest extent, I think, especially Colonials, Legacies and JFD.
Mm.
They really use all the models available, not to mention Red and other rescaling and ethnic units mods.
Like you say, if it is the case that the units are made up of bits and pieces, there might be some sort of editor which allows you to build from scratch some units and hopefully make a couple of new animations, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's a bit of a hangman's dream at the moment, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. When I started creating units back in Civ 3, I thought it looked like it was going to be really complicated, but it wasn't. It was a really straightforward process in Poser, so fingers crossed it might not be as complicated as we think it is, but we'll see.
One thing I will say about like the art in Civ 6 is that it's in a different style, we know this, but it should cause some artists to struggle with the new system and some artists to thrive. What have we been doing with making art in like this particular style for, what, like years now? So it's just the switch, but I think after a while we'll get back on our feet. Optimism.
Well, yeah, that's my approach, really. If Civ 6 requires more 3D modeling, then I will be kind of forced to do it and learn, finally, if I have the time, for example. Case in point, buildings and unique districts, they will need 3D models.
Yeah, I'm scared about them.
But it's not something to be pessimistic about, I think. In any case, we will have to play the game for a few months to see what is doable and what is not. And I think many modders will hold off from making big mods until at least the first expansion pack, because it can really shake things around.
One really horrifying question, at least in my opinion, from a coding standpoint. If every building requires a model, will dummy buildings still be possible? Because seriously, like, dummy buildings are like the most useful things ever.
Well, you still have the city center. I think you could hide anything in there if you wanted. Might be possible.
Just love the way you worded that. You could hide anything in there.
Years of experience.
Well, one thing I don't think we've really discussed, especially how designs will affect, because there are some changes to like the core mechanics of the game.
social policies are gone, and there's a lot of mods and stuff that rely on social policies. But then there's like some really interesting stuff to like base off, like the city planning. I bet on like at least 18 mods can like utilize that in some interesting way. It's all about finding out what's new and using that instead of whatever you were using in Civ 5, which is now gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there will definitely need to be a switch in thinking. But it's also a welcome change, I think.
What about this for a design for Civ 6? It'd be great if the city-states could ultimately evolve into proper Civs. Would you like that as a design if that came in?
That would be an amazing thing, but very, very difficult to code.
Yes, and they would have to have a pool of leader heads that randomly get spawned in with languages and everything.
Yeah, plus if it up the same thing as a Civ 5, there's a set number of Civs that can even appear in the game.
Yeah, but that included city-states, didn't it? It was 63. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
If we got somebody like Ed Beach on it, maybe he could code it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, but I like the concept of city-states. They don't really have to evolve. You still have city-states in the real world right now, like San Marino, Monaco, you know.
Yeah, in fairness, we have like four. I think that's stretching it a bit. But still, I like the idea of city-states. I don't think they really need to change that much.
Yeah, what I kind of miss from Civ 4 is that barbarians ultimately evolved into a sort of city-state.
Yeah.
One thing I have noticed, though, is that there's a scientific city-state now.
Yes.
This has only just now clicked with me. There are scientific city-states.
And of all of the possible choices, the Hittites are scientific. And you have to take into account that the city-states have small unique abilities as well. And I don't know if they are randomly generated or tied to the city-state, but the Hittites as a city-state grant extra copies of strategic resources. So,
which you have revealed but do not own, just like their design in Civ 5. Coincidence?
Think not. There's potentially a lot of things in Civ 6 that is creatively inspired by mods for Civ 5.
I like as well how Zanzibar's unique city-state ability is literally Indonesia's ability.
So they probably thought that Indonesia was garbage and they changed it to city-state.
So anything else, 10-4, Civ 6?
The design problems originating from the civilizations having six uniques, three for the Civ and three for the leader.
I'm just going to put this out here. In my personal belief, porting Civs from Civ 5 to Civ 6, like in design, is incredibly impractical.
Oh yes, I can agree. However, there is conceptual design done in Civ 5. You can follow some guidelines set by certain leaders and try to recreate in Civ 6. Well, because porting it most likely will not be available due to code differences and the game logic at large.
Yeah. But I mean, there are some features from Civ 5 which have been altered drastically or straight up missing from Civ 6.
It's just the sense of whatever it is can be ported across in a lot of them. But I agree there's other ones that probably have been modded in where eyes on something that doesn't exist anymore.
Honestly, at the moment, the feature I'm most interested about in Civ 6 is agendas.
Yeah.
I really hope we can do some like absolutely crazy stuff with them and they're not like hard coded, especially for non-espoused, which interestingly enough actually became easier to design in Civ 6 thanks to the amazing ability of Eureka bonuses. But what I really want to do, if it's heavily moddable and you can like set it so that you can set, oh yeah, this will put their diplomacy bonus down or this will put their diplomacy bonus up. I just have this picture of them. Nonus Balsit there, and every time you talk to him, every time you open up the diplomacy window to talk to him, you get a penalty. Every time. But for every turn that you leave him alone, like you don't try to talk to him, he likes you a bit more. I'm really hoping it'll be that moddable and I won't have to do something like, oh yeah, Nonus Balsit really hates it when, I don't know, you're aggressive towards anyone who starts a war or bullies city-states on his continent.
Yeah, if it isn't moddable, then it definitely should be. I do hope that Firaxis realizes that such a big feature, such a defining feature of new leaders must be moddable for the modders.
We won't know if it's moddable until the game's out, unless we get an early copy. Hey, Firaxis. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. Nods as good as a wink to a blind bat, etc.
Know what I mean? Know what I mean?
Say no more. Say no more.
If there's some kind of lure function or something equivalent, just in the, there was altered the diplomacy up and down, now it's do pretty much anything you wanted.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic if it's like a leader diplomacy bonus. So you could have like variable L equals leader diplomacy bonus. Leader diplomacy bonus equals L minus two. L equals L minus two. Set leader diplomacy bonus L. Mm. I don't want Nera to kill me, please.
I think he already plans it. On another funny note about Civ 6 civilization is that you can send emissaries for a bit of gold to another civilization to gather some info on them and gossip, and you can give gifts to them. And each civilization has a unique gift. So we now have the unique cultural influence mod.
I never knew about this. This is amazing. This is great. I'm already like planning out of my head what every like civilization should have.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you know, but it's probably only just a change of text in the Diplo screen, but it's still fun. There are wonders that take up tiles.
Oh, yeah.
And we do not know if there can be dummy wonders in the city center anymore.
What I am noticing a bit, at least China, and I've heard a bit about Egypt, their unique terrain stuff have to do more with wonders than with commonly occurring buildings, which might get interesting. I'm sure there are some civilizations which are like most famous for what they've built.
But are you saying the pyramids being unique to Egypt, to put it?
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure the Egyptian one is actually Sphinx. A Sphinx.
Yes, that's the Sphinx. And the Chinese have the Great Wall improvement that can only be built on borders.
Right.
Yeah, so just stuff like that.
For example, a particular wonder had to be built on a particular type of tile.
But that's definitely possible. Like Machu Picchu being built in the middle of a desert. No, thanks.
Well, there are terrain requirements for wonders now, and some are quite harsh.
Yeah, exactly. Hi, Petra.
But I must say, I really like this. I really like this because it allows more civs to build wonders, because not every civ is going to have every terrain type in the borders. And it kind of spreads the wonders out.
Yeah.
You can be a wondermonger, I think, but you have to have a lot of land.
It'd be a lot more difficult.
Yeah.
Focus on building settlers to focus on building wonders. It's very interesting. You really have to choose your wonders wisely. You can't just, this tech is going to take another 10 turns to research. Might as well build new 20. I butchered that pronunciation, didn't I?
Neuschwanstein.
If wonders and indeed perhaps even buildings have requirements for terrain, it might mean that those people, and I've got to admit I'm one of them when I play, that have a set way of playing, that's going to be shaken up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I can't suddenly build that wonder that I always build because I haven't got the particular terrain type near me.
You're like building the Great Library without any paper and trees.
Without writing. But yeah, buildings are not tied to districts, and some districts are tied to terrain. Like the harbor district, you can build on water in non-coastal cities as well. So that's really cool. And you can have a landlocked city and build a harbor on the only sea tile that is in the city's borders.
You should get an achievement for that called Mongolian Navy.
Thinking of achievements, I was about to mention it with the legacy bonuses from governments, that I think there will be an achievement for sticking with despotism from beginning to the end of the game, with like one card slot.
They should make mod support for achievements, and then you should get an achievement for playing as Canada the whole time. Ah, memes.
Do you know what? That could be one of the things that we should be able to mod in, achievements.
Well, I mean, achievements are handled through Steam, though, aren't they? Yeah. So you could, like, if you knew enough about UI modding, you could probably have like a Steam-styled box pop up, say you got an achievement, and then disappear. That would be pretty cool, actually.
And the first achievement, added modded achievements. But on the topic of civics, there is the government system that you choose your government and assign, and it has a few slots for policy cards that you drag and choose and mix and match to create your civics of your civ. And I think it is a pretty simplistic mechanism for now.
I sort of like it, actually.
Well, I do like it as well, because it's much better than the rigid policy trees right now. And there seems to be many more cards to choose from, so it should be really flexible.
Because there are so little cards you can have at one time, I feel the cards themselves are going to be stronger.
Yes.
Yeah.
So are they going to be playstyle defining? Like based on what cards you get early in the game, that's how you're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like you've got maybe about 4 or 5 different things that you can have at once. Maybe it gets more complicated over time as the game goes on, I don't know. But like you say, essentially, once the ability, for example, to have a bonus against Barbarians comes out, then you only have that once you play that particular card.
Oh my God, I thought of something as well. If you can switch out your cards at any time, right? Then you give some really powerful effects. With some debuffs as well.
Yeah.
It could be like, oh yeah,
you gain extra science, but everyone's starving to death.
I'm sure there's something like that. And there's word floating about of legacy bonuses for governments, and I don't know if it just means that you get bonuses for sticking around with a government for a long time, or it's an enhanced version of a government. We'll see what happens, but I wanted to briefly touch on this topic because for me it seems a bit simplistic, even if it will be game-defining right now. I think there will be a mod for that if it's moddable, and I do hope that governments are moddable, because when you see, for example, JFD's rise to power taking shape with sovereignty and all that government jazz, it's kind of complicated.
Honestly, the way it's set up at the moment, it feels like it could be easily moddable.
Yeah.
It will be some sort of linear progression, but because you have, I think, many more choices and many more possible paths because of terrain you are landed on, of discovering technologies and of discovering civics, that the games will not be as linear as C5.
That's good.
Now, we were talking before about possible barriers to moving over the C5 mechanics over to Civ 6. We've got one right there, because a lot of the Civ 5 mechanics for getting the UA is to hijack a policy and give them a free policy, social policy. If it's the case that they can, civs can then choose which policy they have and only have certain ones available at any one time, then that won't work, because a civ, given a policy to give them an advantage, might decide to choose something else.
Wow. In a way, though, I sort of feel like this is like sort of nerf the aspect of one free social policy a bit, like by giving you a card, like you can't fit all the cards in your deck at once. Well, okay, this is sort of like reverse of Magic the Gathering rules, so I should probably not make that comparison. But like, you have to choose certain cards, so in a way, the effect of a free social policy has become a bit lessened. You can get another card, right? But you might not want to like switch out that card with the one you have.
Yeah.
It's sort of an interesting effect. I think it could be a lot more exploitable.
In terms of modding, then hopefully we'll have to use dummy buildings and policies, because Frax have understood that we have to use these odd workarounds, and so they'll actually just give us the ability to from the off.
Yeah, maybe this time around we won't have to use workarounds and dummy policies.
Yeah.
Maybe there will be a way to do it legit.
With the dummy policies, once they're given, there's some way of sort of locking them in. So it's an extra policy that can't be deleted, and then on top of that, they have the government. Mm. You see what I mean?
Yeah, you get a permanent card that isn't displayed anywhere.
Yeah, that's a better way of saying it.
Yeah, that could work as well.
I've stated this before, but porting Civ 5 Civs over the Civ 6 is horribly impractical, which is good in a way, because I feel like it'll give people more freedom. They're not trying to like replicate what they did in Civ 5. Then we get some crazy new designs which fit this better than ever before.
I mean, a lot is talked about when we've been designing Civ 5 Civs, and the same happened in the other Civilization series as well. Whilst the actual mechanic that makes something happen might change, the overall sort of emphasis for that Civ may well be the same. So Rome is always going to be a civilization that expands and is a bit militaristic. Egypt is always going to be some sort of building Civ, if you see what I mean. But there might be a different way of expressing that in Civ 6 than there was in Civ 5.
Yeah, of course. What the civilizations are known for and what they did will never change. But the way that it will be expressed will have to with the different mechanics.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to take an example, Haiti, a civilization which is notorious for its revolution. Like, that's why it's most popular. So, obviously, its effects are going to have to do with revolution, regardless of what game it's in. But at the same time, they're also notorious for voodoo. But that's probably also going to make an experience, which will cause them to be slightly religion-based. But when religions are handled in different ways, then so will the mod.
The idea is that you don't carry the direct code and functions from Civ 5, but you'll carry the unique, like what actually you need to be using and what they'll be about. So you'll still take over your revolutionary way and your voodoo aspect, but they won't be identical to how they were in Civ 5, but it's sourced out what they're going to be for you before you started.
Yeah.
What may well be as well is the designs forum on the Civ Fanatics. They come up with some ideas that aren't possible in Civ 5, and you know what? They might be possible in Civ 6.
That is very true.
Yeah, and what about all the legacy of Civ 5 mods that we have? There's a wealth of already done designs. There's a lot of concept work already done. And because of the similarity, well, there is a similarity of how Civilization 6 civilizations are set up and Civ 5 civilizations are set up. An arrangement of uniques and unique abilities. You have this concept already done, and you can follow it to an extent, and not just reinvent the wheel. It's a different story between Civ 4 and 5, where you have almost no connection between the games. I think Civ 5 to Civ 6 will have somewhat the largest percent of modders transporting from Civ 5 to Civ 6.
I totally agree.
So we'll have some sort of retention of ideas and retention of research. Because when you came in with Civ 5, I started with Civ 4, but didn't play very much, so I didn't even check the customization forms for Civ 4 to research. I jumped in pretty much straight to Civ 5, but now we'll be staying with both games.
Yeah, each time that's because the new Civ has looked so completely different to the old Civ in terms of modding, in terms of artwork, and people have thought, nah, I'd sooner stick with what I know and do a bit more for that. I haven't finished such and such a project and never end up going on to it. With Civ 6, it looks so far like it'll be quite similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and
easier to move on to. And I think if all the people that we know that want to move on to it, we all know each other already, it might make it easier for us to transfer over.
Yeah, and it was one of the biggest fears about Civ 6 that it will be so different that we'll have to be forced to stay with Civ 5. But it does feel familiar so far.
What does worry me a bit about that is if most of the people who played Civ 5 and modded Civ 5 transfer over to Civ 6, they'll still feel like there's some level of ownership on ideas. There's like a subtle level, I'd like to believe, of first come, first served on the Civ 5 modding community. This is a bit pessimistic to say, but I don't feel like more Civs would be that thrilled if tomorrow I released a Tibet, for example. The point is that it's difficult because so many Civs have been made for Civ 5. It's sometimes difficult to find new Civs. So a new game seemed like it would be an opportunity to start fresh, but I worry that some people won't see it the same way.
If you were to do Tibet tomorrow with Song Sungampo, but use different artwork, a completely different way of doing it, I don't think most Civs would have a problem with that. But if you did something similar to that guy did with one of COF's civilizations.
Sri Lanka. Yeah. Ooh.
That was basically, I'll use all your stuff and make it what I think's better.
We've all decided alternate leaders are going to be easier to code and are going to rely on like this base Civ. But with that, the idea of a first-come, first-served thing really come into focus. Because, I mean, if I want to do a Maori under Hongihika, but there's already a Maori under Te Rauparaha, I'll make Hongihika an alternate leader of Te Rauparaha rather than making a new Civ. Then the point of first-come, first-served is going to be hammered home a bit. So it'll be interesting to see how that works and see if it either fosters a sense of community or a sense of bitterness. But I mean, I'd like to believe we're a strong community, we'll rise up and our friendships will be forged closer by this chain and not the grim alternative.
You see, what will happen is Civs will start off being quite easy to make. Then all of a sudden, JFD will come out with some new imaginative thing that we haven't thought of and we must have with all the Civs, so that adds to the complexity of future Civs, and then somebody else will come out with events and decisions and you'll have to go back and update all your old Civs so that it's up to date with all the new mechanisms that comes out, and it's like, what?
Yeah, but we also have to realize that it will take some time to develop such big mods for Civ 6, and some guys will not bother making big mods before expansion packs because they might upset everything.
We'll have at least a couple of years of living it free and easy.
But that will come round. That will come round. What goes round? You'll say, do you remember that Civ that you made the first week that Civ 6 came out? We want you to go back and make it compatible with another dozen mods.
Swings and roundabouts.
It's not compatible with Wish for the World. What are you doing? You know, it's like, well, you know, wasn't available then.
It's like, what the hell? Why isn't this compatible with Events and Decisions? What is this, 2014? Yeah. Actually, it was made in 2014.
Yeah.
But a general impression of the beginning of Civ 6 modding is that, A, we'll have to learn new things, new tools and new methods.
Oh yeah, definitely. They even said it's on a different engine, which could really ruin some stuff. JFD and Nero might have to like learn completely new languages.
Yeah, and the second stuff is that the designs for civilization and mechanics are a bit deeper, a bit more refined, so the development time and development cycles of civs and research are going to be all the tiny bits longer. So for starters, we'll have to settle for quality instead of quantity.
Yeah.
Not like with a dozen rushes that are all about quantity.
Well, in a way, the rushes will be easier to make because you'll only have to make like a couple of uniques rather than making a whole new Civ every time.
Yeah, yeah. You have the base Civ, which is in the base game, and you just slap leaders on top of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could have more rushes than ever before.
Oh, yeah. At the expense of more Chinas, which is quite ironic.
The new stuff then for Civ 5 of late, it looks to me like the Greek split is imminent.
Why don't we learn about that a bit?
I made the picture to go on Steam, so, you know, there's no turning back right now.
Yeah. My contribution is that I, for the last 3 years, been going on at PowerKai to get it out. So I think I've done my bit.
And I wrote very small amounts of text.
Have you done, like, the Civilopedia bits?
I did 2 Civilopedias, but I'm too terrible at them to do most of them. I did Dawn of Mans, though. Speaking of man, like the word man, the Manchu actually should be out, which is one of my pet projects. They're pretty insane.
Care to elaborate?
Well, I'm not a T-Pank level hype guy, so I won't give them like a stunning, oh wow, I must download this immediately. This is how narcissistic I am. I wasn't going to make them originally, but I had, what's the word? One day, I was eating porridge, and then suddenly I was like, oh my god. Basically, I thought, oh yeah, this is the best design I will ever come up with. So yes, I must make this Civ. Just see if I can get the design up right now. It'll probably have changed a bit by the time this is actually released. But the coolest bit is the unique ability, which is units are randomly assigned one of 8 banners upon their construction. Units receive additional combat strength and movement when adjacent to a unit of the same banner.
Let that sink in a bit.
Yeah.
You have your units and you're basically separating them because ideally, when you have each unit, you're going to have some sort of banner and you want to group up civs with the same banner so they all get this extra combat strength and movement. So if you're clever with unit positioning, then you can basically just dominate enemies. And if you're not, if you're an AI, well, have fun not having a unique ability.
It seems to me like making a stack of doom that is unstacked.
Yeah.
See, Civ 6 mechanics unstacking.
Yes. The stack of doom is back. The stack of doom is back in Civ 5.
But it's unstacked.
Hide your children. It's just like a weird little war Civ. They have one which they have a ranged mounted unit which gets Chukanu effect, attacking twice per turn if it's next to 2 or more units. It has a musket man which can convert units to its banner, or the banner the musket man has. Basically, it's all about getting these banners and just sending them in like you want to pound your enemy into submission. Just like the Manchu did with China.
Just like the Mongols did before.
So there we go, tied it all up. Yeah. It's all fun, it's all bonkers, and it has historical relevance. Remove Ming, remove Qing, Manchu are the best.
On the Qing, the China split will be back on track at some point.
Oh, good, because I was hoping for the Han before Civ 6 comes out.
Yeah, the Han, the Ming, and the Qing should be there.
Yeah.
I think JFD was saying that the Pope was going to be his last one because the other Pope was his first one or something.
Yeah, there are still a couple of civs that are to be done with me and JFD. It's, you know, the Balkans.
Oh, yeah. And Spain's just around the corner as well, isn't it?
Yeah, Spain's around the corner. The Chinas. One civ that I am designing, last one for Civ 5. And the Pope. Yeah. And there's Denmark-Kalmar Union.
And the Pope is innocent, isn't it?
Yes, yes. But yeah, we were intending at some point to make an Alexander the VI papacy, so the Borgia.
Oh, I'd love a Borgia. Come on, make it. Now.
I think we might go for him with Civ 6, although JFD said Pius is his. When you have the Civilization 6 agendas for leaders and how it's all leader-focused, then the Borgia leader would be an excellent choice. But what can we talk about Civ 5 still? Well, me and JFD did Burgundy. It was fun.
Yes, that was good. I've been busy integrating citizen development into Anno Domini, or a version of it.
But it's citizen development. It's plagues. It's, no.
Crime, it's got loyalty. And it fits pretty well into the mod, actually.
Yeah. Well, especially the plagues in when you consider the ancient world.
Yeah. Well, I did have plaguing before. I was quite happy with the health and plague element that Framed Architect did previously for it. But in the citizen development, all of those different elements sort of blend into each other and work well together. I've ditched those in favour of the citizen development version for that reason. Of course, because of that, I've had to put in the community patch, so that most recent version of that has gone into Anno Domini as well. And it's allowed me to do things like Constantine, bring him in, that JFD did recently.
Yeah, there's a lot of new functionality with community patch you can do. And if you roll it into one package with Anno Domini, then no one else has to download this third-party thing.
This is it. I mean, one of the things that JFD said to me, one of the things with the community patch is sometimes it changes something and you have to update your own civs it's changed something within the community patch, but at least with this, if it's a version of it that's in there, then it'll stay pretty static.
Yeah, yeah. That's definitely a good thing, and all the more steps to make Anno Domini complete before Civ 6.
Yeah, I thought it was just something good to do in the meantime, because other than perhaps adding a couple of extra Civs to it, there wasn't really anything more I could do. But, you know, maybe integrating that was a way of waiting for Civ 6 to come along. I won't be updating the website with it, though, because I think that I will use the website for a Civ 6 version of Anno Domini and build it up from there.
Oh my god, it's such a good thing to see this project go on from Civ 3 and now to Civ 6. This is great.
Yeah.
Spanning the ages.
Yeah, well, it has lasted the test of time. but it's good that, essentially, I can use things that I've used before. When I moved from Civ 3 to Civ 5, although, of course, everything's changed, a lot of things have changed. But like I said earlier, the city lists haven't.
Yeah.
The civilopedia list hasn't. And the focus for the civs haven't either. So it was a good starting point, and I think in the same way, I'm hoping that the Civ 5 version will be a good starting point for whatever version comes out with Civ 6.
Yeah, we come back to the topic of the wealth of research that is already done and available.
Yeah.
This is such a great to have a pool of ideas.
Yeah. And I think equally, I'll be hoping that this time things can link in a little bit better. So rather than having a version of, you know, whatever you and JFD create and everybody else, that people can just download it and add it and just have Anno Domini lit up and the other civs, if you see what I mean, just play it straight away. But we'll see.
Also, putting the job of Anno Domini support into the Civ Creator, that could get interesting.
Yeah.
I haven't played Civilization 5 in 2 years.
Really?
I've been too busy modding. Yeah, I don't have time to play Civilization 5. I have to make other people play Civilization 5. The funniest thing about it is that it's true.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely true. I mean, I've got something like 2,500 hours logged on Civ 5 playing, but I think I've done at least triple that with modding, at least.
I have more time in the SDK than I have in the actual game.
Yeah, I didn't look at how much time I've had on the SDK.
Well, I played some Civ last month, but with all the Civ 6 news, I just realized how much of a chore the Civ 5 game is after the Renaissance. And I kind of peter out after the Renaissance and start a new game.
Oh my god, I thought I was the only one.
I'm really looking to Civ 6 to shake this around. Maybe the pace is a bit better. Maybe there's something more interesting mid-game that happens in Civ 5.
Support the ongoing Polycast Patreon campaign.
Collective achievements.
Personal incentives.
Month-to-month commitment.
For more information, visit thepolycast.net/Patreon.
Calling today, in North America, the number is 301-637-7659. In Europe, 44121-288-7659.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Modcast, log on to the series' official website at thepolycast.net. So you also have civs such as Egypt, who have a rich ancient history, but also have more recent history. So maybe they're unique, might not suit all of those things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's where you would...
Yeah, but even in the modern day, they sort of rely a bit on tourism and sort of the old stuff, you could say, is bringing back the past.
Yeah.
The tourism.
I think it will depend on a Civ to Civ basis. Some civilizations that come in a baseball game will be relevant for all the incarnations of the country. Some will not, some will. So,
yeah.
I think it will all come to the general consensus there. Or we make a new civilization for modern Egypt. Because that was an ancient Egypt with ancient Egyptians, now it's modern Egypt with Arabs. So you can argue that it's a different civilization under the same name.
Yeah, just rename it to, what is it, like the Republic of Egypt or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Egypt and the Arab Republic of Egypt.
Oh, and the government system. Maybe it will be possible to assign leader titles and country names to the governments. That would be cool as well.
Here's another idea to throw out to you to see what you think of. If there are multiple leaders like we're thinking that there is, how about some mechanism within the game that maybe the odd Civ might randomly overthrow their leader and chuck a new leader in, so all of a sudden they have a different focus because of that.
Yes, yes. Or a system of leaders changing over time, like rise and fall of civilization.
Yeah. I'm just imagining like the least convenient leader changes. Roosevelt with his Rough Riders, they reach the industrial era, and then they kick him out for Washington with his Minutemen. Ah, the beauty.
Or, you know, someone would make a progression of American presidents in order.
Well, yeah, you can't forget about Martin Van Buren. Where's his civ?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Civilization 4, they had Native America, right? And then Civilization 5, they came to the census and made the Iroquois and the Shoshone, right? The Civilization 6, they have the Celts and Polynesia. So they need to be split up. You got to keep the pattern going because the human brain is naturally tuned towards pattern recognition.
Yeah, but they repeated the blobby Celts in 4 and 5. So the pattern is broken.
Yeah, well, they got to fix it.
Well, if the pattern is there, they also need to break up Germany because there's many differences in the Germans. Although they already added Austria, but there's no Switzerland and there's no Bavaria.
There's no Lorraine.
And there's no Lower Saxony.
Yeah, for ISIS, put Lorraine in the game.
And see how Europe is fun?
No, Europe's not fun. You can't not have a blob sieve. You just have to move the blob sieve around. So if we're getting like the Maori or Tonga instead of Polynesia, we got to have now the South Americans. Why not Europe under Arthur, King Arthur, with the Legion and the Panzer?
Well, I would be fine with that, to my surprise.
Of course, in 3 years' time, more...
Kuakai will release the Europe split.
Well, no, they'll be doing the Maliska split. This was Modcast 65. Thanks for listening. I'm Rob RHXFT. With me today was...
Jan Boruta.
Chris 15.
And Sanchi Danchi.
Wait, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Oh, it was good to be here. I enjoyed myself. Would do again.
So
there is a, like any opening procedure or whatever?
Yes, there is. What we would do is, in a moment when I open the modcast, I don't even know which number it is. Is it 65, Jan? Do you know? Joining me today are...
Jan Boruta.
Chris 15.
Sorry.
You said you were the first.
Okay, yeah, we really should have thought of an order before beginning.
Okay, don't worry. We'll do it then in the order of Jan, Chris, Sanchi. Is that okay?
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
What do we call you, by the way, when we're on the modcast, Sanchi? Is it Sanchi?
Yeah, Sanchi's fine.
Okay, so welcome to Modcast 65. I can't even say it myself now. Welcome to Modcast.
Yeah,
I was
doing... Oh, okay,
And possibly like... possibly
here's
like...
a tariff.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, remember when the thread gets posted for this, right? Like the Sifnites from, you have to remember to include the word Muisca in your post.
By the time this modcast goes out, the Muisca will be already confirmed for Civ 6, maybe.
Oh, no. They'll introduce a playable demo. We can only play as the Muisca. Well, speaking of not getting Nero to kill me, actually, no, I should probably wait until those are actually released. Never mind. Continue. I'm sure there are some... What's his face? I'm going to say words if I can remember.
Yeah, it's a small step back to Civ 4 and merging it with Civ 5 that established the full screen leaderhead.
Yeah, and in a sense, a little bit of Revcast as well. Rev. I mean,
yes,
a little bit of Rev as well.
It's all up to words. Really should have thought of something to say before I started talking there.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, don't bother thinking before saying anything.
Yeah.
Oh, that's worked for me for my whole life. Not planning on changing it now. Okay, remember, kids, you never hope for the sieves that, like... Oh, what was I going to say? I've forgotten. Also, by the way, when I say remember, kids, I'm referring to the audience, not the three of you.
Okay.
Brian, you got to have a stupid name on the internet.
One letter of difference.
Yeah, if you're on the internet and your name isn't stupid, you've failed. You're making your account. Looking at you, JFD.
I think we've said quite a lot about Civ 6. I don't think we're going to get anything that is majorly different to what we've already said.
Yeah.
I mean, if we like have a eureka moment halfway through the chat, we'll probably just say it and then it'll be cut in earlier.
Correct.
He has the powers of editing.
Damn, he has that technology.
You know, we'll still drift towards Civ 6 at some point.
We will.
Because it's too exciting right now.
Thing is, I mean, we can put it in, and being Canadian, Dan will just apologise on our behalf.
Yeah, so sounds like a win-win.
We could have a competition. Whoever, like, guesses correctly the number of times I've said Moisca gets a sentry point.
Ah, but is it how many times made the cut, or how many times you said it before the cut?
Yeah.
I don't think this will make the cut.
I think it won't. I've got that feeling. He'll say this has nothing to do with Civs at all.
Well, quick, we got to make a Doctor Who Civ after this is done, but before it's edited, so it's relevant. What am I talking about?
Don't worry, by the way, Dan Quick edits these conversations, so what we start out with isn't what we end up with. So it doesn't matter if there's any breaks in the conversation, any, oh shit, I don't know what to say next kind of thing. That'll all be edited out. Both of our regular viewers said they enjoyed this episode.
Oh wow, already it's not even done yet. That's great.
Oh, we can do the record date again, just for the purpose.
Oh yeah, we could do the first bit, couldn't we? Welcome to Modcast 65. Recorded on the 25th of June
25th of June 1916. First in the news of the incoming German.
Hi, this is Modcast with me, Rob RHXFT. Oh no, I was going to say the date wasn't mine. Everything right? Okay. Yeah. hi, this is Mod. That was the point.
Maybe some more free talk for the lulz.
You mean there was parts of this which wasn't free talk?
Yeah, and he's...
And he's Jan's favorite because he's Polish.
Yeah, and he has statues in Lorraine. So, people like him.
I think basically everyone has statues in Lorraine.
Yeah, but about Burgundy and great works of art, we're planning to do something like that upon first...
Charles de Bault has a statue. To...
Could you not interrupt me for once?
Sure.
Fuck you, man.
Go ahead.
No, I had my three tries. I've used them all up. You never know what I want to say. Get lost.
You're a wild card. I was, like, legitimately intimidated there.
All right, next topic.
You're never going to elaborate.
Well, seems the recorder picked up this conversation right now.
It looks like it probably is, actually.
All right, in any case, I'm recording, so I'll be monitoring if it stops again.
Yes. Okay, at least we got the previous one twice, and we've got this one at least once and possibly twice. So,
yeah. Yep.
It should be okay.
No worries.
Behind the scenes of the Modcast.
You wouldn't know what shit goes on normally, you know?
And we don't know what happens at Dan's place.
Yeah.
That must be awful. We should pay him.
Everybody, be cool. This is a podcast.
Record date?
June 25th, 2016. Civilization 4 and 5 sound clips. Copyright Take-Two Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.